Imagine trying to push cars, electricity, and water through the exact same pipe. That is essentially the chaos that happened when the internet violently collided with traditional TV and telecommunications. Welcome to today's deep dive into South Africa's 2014 National Integrated ICT Policy Discussion Paper. Our mission today is to, well, uncover how a nation fundamentally rewrites its technological rulebook to handle this collision, ensuring no citizen is left stranded in the digital divide.
Right. And the policy paper actually calls this collision convergence. So for decades, I mean, we had these totally siloed industries. You had one network for phone calls, another for TV broadcasts, and obviously a physical one for postal servicing.
Right, completely separate.
Exactly. But convergence meant everything was rapidly merging onto single IP-based networks.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's almost like taking all your distinct physical utilities, water, electricity, mail, and turning them into identical, unmarked shipping containers.
Yeah, that is a great way to look at it. The network infrastructure doesn't actually care what data is inside the container. It just routes the packet straight to your screen.
But if every single service is using the exact same digital proofs, I mean, who actually controls the flow?
Well, since our listeners probably know the net neutrality debate inside out, let's look at why South Africa's landscape in 2014 made this particularly volatile.
Oh, for sure.
ISPs were arguing that with the sheer volume of video and data suddenly flooding their infrastructure, they really needed the power to manage heavy traffic, just to keep the network functioning efficiently.
But giving ISPs that power creates this obvious choke point, right? Like, providers could prioritize data from powerful creators who can pay for access, which subtly degrades competing services.
Exactly. And this raises an important question. How do you mathematically prove an ISP is managing congestion for efficiency rather than just acting as a gatekeeper?
Right, because they could just be throttling the competition.
Yeah, it is a fierce regulatory puzzle when you're policing invisible data flows in this newly converged space.
But here is the catch with treating ISPs as gatekeepers. They really only care about the gates where there is profit.
Right, exactly.
The 2014 paper realized that regulating traffic flows is entirely useless in rural areas where the private sector refuses to even lay the cable.
Yeah, that access gap was massive.
So to solve this, they looked for a government asset that was already everywhere. And here's where it gets really interesting. They chose snail mail.
They did. The South African Post Office, or SAPO, like postal services globally, their mail volumes were tanking due to, electronic substitution.
Nobody sends physical letters anymore.
Right. But SAPO possessed this massive, pre-existing retail footprint in incredibly remote areas. So the paper proposed transforming these aging post offices into community Wi-Fi hotspots, e-government service centers, and even e-commerce logistics hubs.
Okay, I have to push back here. It sounds brilliant on a whiteboard, but is it realistic? I mean, you are expecting a traditional, historically bureaucratic mail delivery service to just seamlessly pivot into a cutting-edge digital tech hub.
You're entirely right to be skeptical. And frankly, execution has historically been their Achilles heel. But what's fascinating here is that the mechanism for this pivot doesn't actually rely on SAPO becoming a nimble tech startup.
Wait, it doesn't.
No, it relies entirely on their real estate.
Oh, so it's really just about the physical brick and mortar buildings.
Precisely. Laying new fiber or building cell towers in deep rural areas is a massive capital expenditure. Private companies just won't do it because the customer base isn't wealthy enough to guarantee a return on investment.
That makes total sense.
So by subsidizing the last mile connection directly to these pre-existing government-owned postal buildings, the government bypasses that massive initial construction hurdle.
Because they already own the secure structures, the land, and those central community locations.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the policy is essentially treating physical postal infrastructure as an essential natural monopoly for the digital age.
Wow, treating post offices as a digital monopoly.
Yeah. They are using old brick and mortar to deliver the internet where the free market simply fails to reach.
So, what does this all mean for us today?
Well, I think it reveals that whether you are writing complex laws to police invisible data packets or figuring out how to subsidize a crumbling local post office, true digital policy is ultimately about equalizing human access.
Right, making sure nobody is left behind.
Exactly. It's about engineering ways for everyone to participate in the modern economy, regardless of their geography.
We really have to completely rethink how we use what we already have. Which leaves you with a final thought to ponder.
Oh, definitely.
If a nation's aging, struggling postal service can be completely reimagined as a crucial digital bridge, What other obsolete public infrastructure in your own community might secretly hold the key to our technological future?